You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Off we go, ladies and gentlemen. It is hour number three of the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great man Lonzo with you here on the radio broadcast. I would like to jump right into the audio blitz. Some of the best audio that we have had over the past 24 hours, predominantly sports, though it can sometimes get away from that a little bit. It will today, doubtlessly. I do want to tell you, Rashad Beard coming up here in about 40 minutes from now. The host of the Panther Nation podcast is going to join us. We'll talk a little Super Bowl with Rashad, get his thoughts. We will also, of course, check in with the Carolina Panthers and where they are in their off-season so far, including yesterday, a couple of Panthers not getting into the Hall of Fame. Luke Kuechly was in his first year of eligibility, did not receive the required number of votes, though I do suspect he will get in. I do think there is some level of protection of first ballot Hall of Famers. And we Lonzo and I both love Luke Kuechly as a dude and as a player, but from an unbiased outsider standpoint, as good as Luke Kuechly was, I think I understand him not being labeled a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I still, and yeah, I guess it's the fan thing, I still think he's one of the best linebackers of all time.
I think he was very good. I also think, and this is probably something that is unfair to hold against him because he did so for a very good reason, but I think him walking away early because of the head injuries, I think him walking away early is, if he'd had another 3, 4, 5 years of playing at that level, I think he becomes a first ballot guy.
For that reason, he should get into the Hall of Fame so they can say, hey, he was that good in that window, but he was smart enough to step away with all the awareness of head injuries and stuff. So it's not, so a player doesn't go, okay, he didn't make it into the Hall of Fame, I need to play through this because I want to be in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, I understand that thought. We're going to come to a story here in a few minutes that kind of goes along those lines, because there is a very interesting story about an NFL player who was on the legacy ballot, who back in, I think, 1980, killed his wife and himself. And then years later, they went and did the study and they found out this dude absolutely suffered from major amounts of CTE. And so even with even with killing his wife and himself as his legacy, he still came very close to being voted in. Effectively, the NFL going, look, we didn't know CTE was an issue, how big of a deal it was, and we understand, while we obviously don't condone what happened, I almost wonder if they weren't kind of hoping to utilize him as a, like, see what can happen if you don't protect yourselves and we don't take these head injuries seriously. We're going to come to that story a little later in the show. But there's a couple of bits of sound that I want to get to here. Let's start with this. Boomer Esiason is a host on WFAN. That's the big talker up in New York City and our brother station.
Yeah, just don't tell him a secret.
Shit, dude. Boomer. Anyway, Boomer said the NFL is expanding.
I agree. It sucks and I hate it.
The best part was when you said, I agree. I'm like, which one of the four things does Lonzo agree with?
I do not agree with him telling someone to shut up, by the way.
The cat that he is hosting with, I will say, because I actually went back on the Odyssey app, as a matter of fact, and found and listened to that segment on Boomer Show on WFAN. The dude he was with, Zoe, you know me. I'm not that guy. After like 5 minutes, I was like, dude, shut up. Let him talk. Shut your mouth, buddy. Shut your mouth, buddy. Let Boomer talk. Boomer says by the end of the 2020s, there will not just be a team in Europe. There will be an entire European division, and it will be expansion, not moving. Nobody's moving over there. I still disagree. I think the Jags could, but theoretically speaking, because we're at a round number of 32, short of having lopsided divisions, which I don't think any owner is going to agree with, you have to add four teams. You got to add four, or you got to move four. And I don't think there's four to move. So they are talking about going and adding four teams. The very first thought that I had there, great one, was how's the scheduling on that work, right? Because the trip from, and this is something I pointed out for a while, the trip from, say, New York to London is about the same trip as it is from New York to L.A. So that's not a huge deal. But the trip from, say, L.A. to London, or if we want to go from arguably the two furthest points apart, if we get a spot where, like, the Rams travel to Germany, that is half the globe.
See, I don't know if you remember, but I do remember NFL Europe.
I do?
Have fans, of football fans, changed enough, evolved, according to some people, enough that they would be interested in a European league or a portion of the NFL being in Europe? I don't think so.
I think there is a dramatic difference between the, the Frankfurt Galaxy and the Frankfurt team that's actually in whatever the new division is going to be and can win a Super Bowl. Mm. And there's a difference. Mm. It's just like any other sport, right? And I use this example not because of the specific team, but just the reality of it. You go down to the Greenville Drive, successful games. They got good crowds that come in there during baseball season, any given night of the week. And that's all well and good. But every
also,
now and then.
It's also a different level.
Let me finish my thought here, because that's exactly the point. Every now and then, the Boston Red Sox send down, buddy. Every now and then, the Boston Red Sox send down an MLB player to do a rehab assignment here. And when they do that, what happens for the Greenville Drive? That stadium is sold out, standing room capacity only, and that's for one Major League Baseball player. So if you get to the point where right now, and I think you can prove it, and I do have to acknowledge that part of this is just because there's only, what, four, five, six European games per year, those stadiums are selling out 100K deep.
Yeah, but and there's no way to know this. Is it just novelty? If that becomes the norm, will they still do that? Because right now it's like once a year you got a shot to see a live NFL game. So people are scrambling to go see it. If you got a shot to go see a game every week, will they still have that kind of attendance?
I think just like any team in the States, it's going to depend on what the team is. If you have a European version of the Chiefs that are going 15-2 and a Super Bowl third every year, they're going to sell out 100,000 seat stadiums. Well, if you send the Jags and they stink for years, you're going to struggle.
The Jags are still selling out in England, by the way. So England and Germany definitely would get a team under that scenario. Who else would?
Germany would get a team. Where it's at, I don't know. That is part of the reason I think if you look, Germany.
Frankfurt?
Well, no, I mean, they're playing games in Frankfurt. They're playing games in Berlin. They're playing games, I think there's three cities in Germany they play in right now, right? So which of those cities? I don't know. Germany would get a team. I would bet France gets a team. I would bet England gets a team. Where the fourth team is, I'm not really sure.
Well, Mexico, but that's not really Europe.
That's not Europe.
But that's another place where they play a bunch.
Sure. So my first thought initially was like, okay, what do...
So they're doing all that. Why not Canada?
Oh, I do think Canada's getting a team. And I would go so far as to say that Boomer says by the end of the 2030s, this league is going to 36 teams. I'd be willing to bet you we're at 40 by 2035. I think we have a 40-team league at some point. And I think you're going to get four in Europe, and then I think you're going to add four more down the pipe. I think Canada will probably get two. I think Mexico gets one, and I would not be shocked down the pipe to see them add one to Brazil, to Rio de Janeiro as well. Again, theoretically speaking, the Europe thing, I absolutely think is happening. The only question I have is...
Or Canada, Greenland, Mexico, and American Samoa.
I don't think there's enough people in American Samoa, but I could be wrong.
A lot of big ooses there that could field a team.
A lot of diet ooses down there, too. Thanks, Rashad. I don't know. We're gonna see what happens with that down the pipe. But Boomer says it's on the way, and I got to tell you, I think he's probably right. I think he's probably right. I think they're doing the fact that we have seen the activity of the National Football League skyrocket exponentially in Europe over the past couple of years is an indicator. The fact that the NFL a couple of years ago propped up a effectively an office of football development in Europe, I don't think that was exclusively an office designed to promote the NFL. I think it was an office that was designed to test the climate in Europe and decide if the NFL's not going to do it if they're not sure it is going to be a money-making endeavor. And so because of that, I think that office and all these European games were set up to find out, is this a profitable venture for us to prop a football team up in Europe? And I think the answer is yes, or we wouldn't see what, because when the European game started, we had what? We had like one European game a year. We had like one game in London, and then it went to two, and then it went to four. Last year we had a European game every week for like, what? Like 7 weeks, 8 weeks. There was a 9:30 Sunday game being played in Germany or in London or wherever for like nine straight weeks. They aren't doing that if they don't feel that this is a money-making endeavor. So I actually think Boomer's probably right about this. My only question becomes, again, the schematics of scheduling and all that. If it is one division, obviously that's great. That's eight games for all of those teams out of 18. Eight games out of all of those games that they don't really have to worry about. They just travel and play each other in that division. The other aspect of it, though, I think, comes into what do you do with the scheduling as far as playing? Oh, and by the way, we do have to change the divisions up, because if we go from 32 to 36 teams, now we're not going to have 9 four-team divisions. Then the conferences become irrelevant unless we go to there's 9 division winners or 9 division winners and... You know, the number one seed gets a bye, everybody. I don't really know how you structure it. I think at that point, you would have to go, if you go to 36 teams or instead of 32, I think at that point, you would end up, Zoe, I think you'd have to go six team divisions. You would have 6 divisional champions. And then I think you'd have to go, that would make what? You'd have to go to what? 3? Wild card teams from both sides?
Four-team divisions haven't been around that long, have they?
Yeah, they've been around for a long time. They were 4-team divisions back before we had realignment that sent the Saints from the West to the South.
Were they?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think you would have to go to six-team divisions. The AFC would be 3 6-team divisions. The NFC would be 3 6-team divisions. I think you would have to have 6 conference champions. I think also, by the way, this would likely end up in a spot where you would have, I think, 4 wild card teams. I'm kind of drawing out the map now. I think you'd have six division champs. I think you'd have four wild card teams. That would leave you a spot where you effectively have eight teams from both the NFC and the AFC make it into the tournament. I think it would be a massive realignment of where we are in the NFL. But I also think, as with the 18-game schedule, the rules changes, yada, 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 if it's going to make the NFL more money, they're going to do it. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute, I got a few more clips that I want to play for you, a few more audio bites during the blitz to get to. Rashad Beard wraps up this hour. Then the 9 o'clock hour belongs entirely to the Armada. That's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, and you. We are rolling through the audio blitz here on the show. By the way, the text line poll of the day is open. The question today is very simple. Who you got? Who you got?
And by the way, quit voting more than once.
You can't. I have it set. Only one vote registers per phone number. They can send multiple texts, but I actually have a text counter, okay. And it only counts
per
number
once. I'm just saying, I looked at the text line, and I've seen one Eagles fan vote multiple times.
Yeah, I want you to know, if you vote more than once, you are wasting your time, as we actually have a software program that tabulates these votes. The reason I started doing this is because something else does all the work for me. When I had to go through it, you'll notice that we didn't do text votes very often because I don't want to sit here and go 1, 2, 3, 4, ooh, slash for 5. I don't want to do that. But the software does it for me. And I can instruct it as a wonderful little subservient artificial intelligence.
Wow.
I can tell it what I want it to do, which is to count only one vote per phone number. So here are your four options in today's text poll question of the day. Who you got in Super Bowl licks? You have four options to select from. You can select Chiefs mini if you believe the Chiefs win in a blowout. You can select Chiefs few if you believe that it is going to be a close game pulled out by Kansas City. You can select Eagles mini if you think Saquon is just gonna run wild on you, brother, and the Eagles blow KC out of the water. Or you can select Eagles few if you think it's gonna come down to like a goal line tush push on fourth down with a second left to go, the most dramatic of endings. Text your choice: Chiefs mini, Chiefs few, Eagles mini, or Eagles few to 844-326-3663. 844-FANFONE. Text Eagles mini, Eagles few, Chiefs mini, or Chiefs few. We will tabulate your votes by the end of the day. All right, a couple more bits of sound I want to get up in here. Kelly Stafford is the wife of Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford is, of course, the quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams had a better season than many people expected. Well, a couple of days ago, the LA Rams, Cooper Kupp, or I guess I should say soon to be former LA Rams Cooper Kupp, announced on social media that the Rams had informed him that they were seeking a trade for the young, not so young, over 30-year-old wide receiver who has been with the team for, I believe, 8 years now. They told Cooper Kupp, "You're out, bud. We had a good run. We'll always be fond of the memories, but good luck in your future endeavors." Well, Matt Stafford's wife, Kelly, has a podcast called The Morning After Pod that she does. Matt's regularly a co-host slash guest, I guess, whatever he is. She, Lonzo, had some feelings.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ooh. You know, when I listened to this the first time, when she was talking about the trade of Cooper and she's like, listen, Matt is never going to put the team in a bad situation if you know what I'm saying, which is effectively saying Matt hates it, but he's never going to come out and say anything publicly because it would be detrimental and it would make it look like the quarterback and the team were feuding and he can't have that and all be on the same page. I get it. There's a part of me that's like, look, if Matt said, yeah, honey, go ahead and do your podcast and whatever you want to say, I don't care, then sure, I guess it's between them, okay? I guess it's between them. I do find, more so than the opinion on the trade of Cooper Kupp, I find that last line very interesting where she said, I love the city of LA, I really do. But with that being said, I'm up for an adventure, which definitely makes it sound like Matt Stafford would say, hey, if you're going to start trading away my guys, then you, I want out.
It's funny because you said that, and because the government and the algorithms are listening immediately, a Rams thing popped up on my X feed. It says Rams star quarterback Matthew Stafford is projected to sign a new three-year, $150 million contract extension with $100 million guaranteed. Stafford has only $4 million guaranteed over the next 2 years. Vikings, Giants, Steelers are expected to have trade interest.
I think that is the reason.
All right. She said he wants to win. He ain't going to the Giants.
No, but he could damn sure win with the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
He could damn sure win with the Vikings.
Could probably win with the Steelers.
Could probably win with the Steelers too. I don't disagree.
But the best place to go to would be the Vikings.
100%. 100%. Unless the Vikings.
You have to deal with Detroit and Green Bay.
Honestly, Chicago next year with Ben Johnson at the helm.
Yeah, we'll see.
That the NFC North is going to be an absolute rocket ship next year, no doubt about it. But the Vikings would also give Matt Stafford easily the best weapons. They made Sam Darnold and Kirk Cousins look like stars. They'll make Matt Stafford look like a star. What I find interesting here is this is one of three things. Number one, this is rogue wife who's like, they disrespected my husband and I don't care. I'm saying something. Number two, this is wife who got clearance from Matt, which means Matt also is upset and like, okay, you can be my mouthpiece here. Or number three, this is a strategic move from the Staffords that makes it sound like they are open to the possibility of demanding a trade down the line, which would do what? Make the Rams go, okay, we want you to stay, so we're going to up the paycheck.
Which is why I read that.
Yeah.
Because that's what it sounds like to me. They just want more money. I hope that that Cooper Kupp comes to the Carolina Panthers, just so you can complain about another old guy being a receiver on the Carolina Panthers.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because we're going to be talking in the next segment with Rashad Beard, because guess who said, I'm back, baby, Adam Thielen running it back for one more. Thoughts where he might call it a career, but said he still got the itch and he doesn't think taking off is going to shake it. So Adam Thielen's back, which means, yeah, as much as I actually really like Cooper Kupp, I've got 2 years of Adam Thielen building with Bryce Young. I'm not getting rid of him for Cooper Kupp. Not happening.
You're saying the two together would not be good in Carolina because I Cooper Kupp. So Cooper Kupp is not.
Cooper Kupp is just a younger, faster Adam Thielen.
So he's not a step up from anybody else that they have other than Adam Thielen.
No, because he's not a number one. Mm-hmm. The only position that they are missing right now is an X.
He was number one for a long time.
Yeah.
With the Rams.
Yeah. What were the Rams doing before Puka Nacua came back? What was the Rams' first half of the season? 500 ball club.
I do believe, maybe I'm wrong, Cooper Kupp is a Super Bowl champion. I could be wrong.
Wonderful. What's that do for the Carolina Panthers in 2025?
You're missing the point. I believe he was the number
Cooper
one.
Cooper Kupp was not the number one.
Who was?
Puka was. No, not Puka. I'll have to go back and look. I don't think he was. But even if he was, that was 5 years ago, mm-hmm. 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's not 30-plus-year-old Cooper Kupp. He ain't the same guy.
This is what I want. This is what I want for an entire season. Having Thielen and And
no, you don't, because you want the Panthers to be better.
I actually
do. So you don't want that.
And I think they would be better with Cooper Kupp.
No, I don't need two.
Because with Cooper Kupp and Adam Thielen both being out on the field, you know what you have? You know
two
what you
guys
have?
Who can run a four-yard curl route.
You know what you have? You have two reliable receivers who can catch the ball from a quarterback who's been under fire for a couple years now.
Correct. You know what I don't have? The big play threat that I need. The one thing that's been missing, the big play threat. That's what I still don't have. And I'm tying up all my resources in two 32-plus-year-old
all right.
wide receivers.
Let's see what Rashad thinks.
We will, coming up in the next segment. But before we get there, I'm going to play this clip. This is Eric DaCosta. He's the general manager of the Ravens. I listened to this clip yesterday, and it bothered me so much that I fired off an auto tweet about it because welcome to 2025. That's what you do.
Auto tweet. So
like
you,
I got
like,
so heated. No, I went straight to Twitter and was like, rabble.
All right, so you just tweeted. You did.
Yeah, but like I didn't take any time to, you know me. I didn't take any time to like unpack it, think about it, develop a thought out response.
Okay.
I just responded.
Auto to me means something totally different. So
I just auto responded sans thought. And last night, as I was going up and down Twitter, this clip came across my my feed again, and I really spent some time thinking about it. I'm going to play this clip from general manager of the Baltimore Ravens, Eric DaCosta, and I want your knee-jerk reaction. Eric DaCosta, general manager of the Baltimore Ravens, just a few weeks after the story broke that the New York Football Jets could have had Jerry Jeudy, a man who went to a very mediocre football team and was one of the few standouts and could have done more, could have been a Jet, could have been with Aaron Rodgers, could have been a weapon, and they passed because the owner of the New York Jets, Woody Johnson, who has accomplished absolutely nothing in his life other than being the right cell ejected from his father and has accomplished nothing else with his life.
You just said my last name.
Woody Johnson, which is what I'm going to call Lonzo now.
No, you said the right cell. Yeah, I mean, I just thought, you know, it's not an often thing. I just want to say really quick, you who are all for RoboRefs and all this digital stuff, how are you against this? Because how are the Madden ratings compiled?
You're ahead of me. I'm coming to it. You're ahead of me. Here's where. Woody Johnson said no to Jerry Jeudy because his teenage son said, "Dad, his Madden rating sucks." And so I think that's where my like very rapid emotional response to like, why would you say this out loud, Eric DaCosta, general manager of the Ravens? Why would you say, hey, we use Madden ratings? But then I really sat and I thought about it a little bit, and I came to the realization that, number one, the folks, and I've watched the behind the scenes of this, the folks who put in the work to do the Madden ratings, they take it seriously. Genuinely, they take it seriously. Not from a programming standpoint, from a scouting standpoint, to make sure their stats are good. And I came to the realization that there is a big difference between we utilize Madden ratings as a metric to evaluate players and we utilize Madden ratings as the metric to evaluate players. Right? Woody Johnson said it was the metric that made us say no. Not, we didn't think he'd fit, bad chemistry, never seen Aaron Rodgers before, yada, yada, yada. He just said, Madden ratings weren't good enough, we're out. DaCosta's saying, hey, look, it's a part of the formula. And when it's part of the formula, and you're utilizing all that scouting that went into this by EA, I actually think that's a good thing. So I owe an apology to Eric DaCosta for my random tweet yesterday saying, hey, maybe don't say this out loud, dummy. I take it back. I get it. You are using it as part of the system versus Woody Johnson, who is, and I've done the research, there's a scientific term for it, dumb. Rashad Beard is the host of the Panther Nation podcast. He joins us to talk a little silver and black football, and we'll get his thoughts on the Super Bowl coming up next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Ordinarily joins us on Thursdays, but he's a working man, ladies and gentlemen. He's out there hustling, trying to make the paper, trying to get the bag. So he had to push this off till Friday, but still kind enough to come by and spend some time talking football. The host of the Panther Nation podcast, my guy, Rashad Beard, in the house. What's up, big fella?
What's going on, man? I'm feeling good. Well, I'm not feeling so great, man. The NFL honors, no Panthers in the Hall of Fame. Got me a little down. I'm not going to lie. It got me a little down.
Yeah, I think Zoe and I, we talked about this earlier in the show, and I kind of want your thoughts on it. I think Luke Kuechly is absolutely Hall of Fame caliber. I'm not fighting that. But I also know that the folks in charge of the HOF, they want to protect that first ballot Hall of Famer label, right? Like the first ballot Hall of Famer is like the Hall of Fame of Hall of Famers, I think. And I think, even though it was a good decision, even though at least I, but I think all of us, supported Luke Kuechly's decision to walk away and for the reason that he did it, I think if Luke Kuechly had like 4 or 5 more years in the league playing at that level, he would have been a first ballot guy. But because his career was shortened, fair or not, I think that was the Hall of Fame just protecting that first ballot Hall of Fame label.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, Luke is, he should be rewarded for making that decision to cut his career early. You know, he obviously dealing with the concussions. I saw one of the scariest things I've ever seen on the field when he collapsed. It's really, really scary back in the day. And so, man, he's a great player, one of the greatest, probably the greatest middle linebacker of all time, dare I say. And he should be in the Hall of Fame. This class is cool. Shout out to Jared Allen, former Panther. I know he's a longtime Viking, but he did play for the Panthers when we went to the Super Bowl.
He was also a Chief. So he played.
I don't remember that.
He was.
I don't remember that.
But since I also root for the Panthers, he started his career with the Chiefs and ended it with the Panthers. I was okay with that.
Yeah, he great. Jared Allen's a good guy, and again, was on that Super Bowl squad back in 2015. So I don't want to take anything away from Jared Allen. Glad that he got in, well deserved. But Luke Kuechly should absolutely be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I get what you're saying, Rob, but I don't like it. I know he will get in eventually. Same with Smitty. Smitty deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. But I understand it. The wide receivers, you got to wait. I get it. He should also be in. Triple Crown winner. You should be in the Hall of Fame. And so now got what? Greg Olsen coming up next. I don't know. Debatable there, but shout out to all my Panthers finally getting an opportunity to submit some legacies in the Hall of Fame, and I'm excited for it.
Who gets in first out of those three?
Oh, Luke absolutely is getting in first. I think Smitty's going to have to wait a little bit. That's just the name of the game for the wide receivers. It's unfortunate. I believe he's the greatest Panther of all time, and should act as he's right there over my shoulder right here. He's always watching me when I'm potting. So I believe he's the greatest Panther of all time, should absolutely be in the Hall of Fame. He's just going to have to wait on it, unfortunately. That wide receiver position is loaded. It's backloaded. They got to wait a long time, and so he'll get in eventually, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast joining us here on the show. Go ahead and nip this in the bud for me, Rashad, or go ahead and gas Lonzo up so I got to deal with him for the back 2 hours of the show and my day. Cooper Kupp on the block. Lonzo's out here campaigning for the Panthers to go make a move to bring Cooper Kupp, partner him up with XL and Xavier Legette. XL and Adam Thielen, who announced yesterday he's coming back. That's not the move for me. You've already got Cooper Kupp in Adam Thielen, so unless you're moving him, I don't see the move for that. You got two of the same old white guy receivers there. I think you're better served to still work on going to find that over-the-top number one. That's not the move.
Yeah, I like Kupp. I think he's very talented. I just don't think he's the best fit for the Panthers and what we're trying to do. I think we need to get younger at the wide receiver position. I think you got Adam Thielen getting ready to, after every season, he's talking about retiring. And Kupp is I mean, he hasn't – when is the last time he played a full season, right? He's always banged up. Not really – that's not what I'm looking for, man. I want us to get younger, more talented, and I like Kupp a lot, though. I think the Chiefs maybe should go after him, man. What do you think about that?
By the way, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But if you think of the progression that Bryce Young had near the end of the season when he was he's continually improving, you give him another veteran receiver who actually catches the ball, and you're right, He gets hurt a lot, but when he's out there, he's reliable. You throw the ball at him, he's going to catch the ball. And you sprinkle in some rookies around him. This is not a long-term thing. This is just a short-term thing to help with Bryce's confidence. And then you have two guys out there for sure in Thielen and Cooper Kupp who are going to catch the ball every time.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm still against it. That wasn't enough for me. So you got a little bit stronger argument. Maybe I would have flipped my mind, but that's not it, man. I got guys like Jalen Coker who can catch the football. He's one of the ones that can't actually catch. Let him develop, you know what I mean? And I think we're going to be active in free agency. I think we can do better than Cooper Kupp when we're talking about adding veteran talent to this wide receiver room.
What if the Panthers don't and they end up with Cooper Kupp?
I mean, of course, if he's a Panther, then I'm going to support him.
I mean, I'm not saying like he's a consolation. I'm just saying he's also not a scrub. I mean,
no, he's not a scrub. And
I get he's older, but again, reliability. I think you want to continue Bryce Young's continuing confidence that he's getting, and I think adding another shorthanded receiver would help.
Yeah, I agree really quick. I don't want to short sell Cooper Kupp's talent because he is talented. I just think we can do better than a Cooper Kupp. If we're aiming to get better, let's go get really better and not just a consolation prize for Cooper Kupp just because he's available. Go get T. Higgins. Go get Garrett Wilson. Go really get better, and then let's talk. I don't want to just, you know, settle.
By the way, both those guys would be awesome for the Panthers, but – Do they want to come there? That's the thing.
Yes, I think they will. The tide is turning in Carolina. Guys are going to want to come. You have a quarterback now. Things are changing. We're not the Saints. I mean, people are going to want to come.
All right, I'm trying to be nice right now, Rashad. It's unnecessary. It's unnecessarily entirely.
I can continue the interview if you like.
All right. Let's get to other things. Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Bryce Young was on the Up and Adams show with Kay Adams the other day, did an interview, which, by the way, if you haven't seen the whole thing, phenomenal sit down. Like this kid a lot. But was asked about his relationship with Dan Morgan as the general manager. Says that he has a, quote, very open line of communication, end quote. Went on to say, quote, he's always asking me stuff. He wants me to send him things and give my opinion, which I'm super grateful for. I'm not saying that we didn't have that with Fitterer in his time as GM, Rashad Beard, but you didn't have that with Scott Fitterer in GM. You didn't have guys coming out and going, we got communication, we're talking, we're interacting, whatever. I might just be optimistic in all this, but it feels to me like the front office's relationship with the players is different. And as long as this is the BY that's out there and out front, I kind of feel like you're trending the right direction.
Yeah, and that's the positive you get when you have a player's a GM that's a former player, right? When you have a GM that can actually relate to your plight and understand your struggles, that's a huge plus. And Dan Morgan, he's a very open guy. He seems to be very like, all right, I'm telling the truth. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, this is what it is. You know what I mean? And for him to have that open line of communication with Morgan is great because guess what? Bryce knows what he needs to be successful. Right. So if he's actually taking into account what Bryce's opinion is on what he needs, that's a great thing. And it appears, and again, it's early. We're only in year one going into year two into this thing. But it appears that everybody seems to be on the same page with this thing. So I like Dan Morgan. I like what he's been doing. I think we still need to see what his drafts are going to look like. But I love the interview. And I think that, you know, all the good things were said. And I don't expect anything less from Bryce Young.
I don't disagree with that at all. By the way, he was also on the Dan Patrick show yesterday. And that was a good one, too. I think for me, and I know, like, even in the off season, Bryce Young is dominating the conversation about the Panthers, which makes sense. It's quarterback league, unless you're the Philadelphia Eagles with Saquon Barkley, but there ain't but one of those guys. I think the fact that not just are the Cats sending Bryce Young out there as the face of the program, but he's going out there, he's being a good ambassador. But more than that, Rashad Beard, when he talks about the team, it feels genuine. It feels like he's being straight up legit. That seems to be who Bryce Young has been all these years. And it just feels like overwhelming positivity as opposed to, you know, coached positivity, forced positivity, whatever. Like I said, I'm probably being a silver lining optimist here, but the way that this guy is talking about the team, talking about Morgan, talking about Canales, talking about the development of the franchise, and being so genuine about it, man, I'm bought in right now.
Well, I think Bryce is rather polished. He's not one of those guys going to go out there and just, you know, vomit at the mouth regarding the Panthers and say bad things. He's not that guy, right? He's very polished. He's very intentional in what he says publicly. He's not going to say anything disparaging. You're never going to hear Bryce Young say anything negative. So I take some of that with a grain of salt. You know, he's just being himself, obviously, but at the same time, it's very polished. And there's nothing wrong with that. I want to be clear. There's nothing wrong with that. I just don't look to Bryce Young for these groundbreaking, you know, these moments where he's spilling the tea and he's saying these things, because he's not going to do that. But it is good to hear. You know, it's good to hear your quarterback be a beacon of light for your team and put that franchise on his back as he's going out there publicly speaking. We haven't had that around here in a long time, since i.e. Cam Newton. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Good thing to have in Bryce Young. And I'm happy for him. I'm happy that his turnaround is he's able to go out there and talk about his turnaround, and because it was great. It's the greatest turnaround of all time in a single season.
Rashad Beard joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. He is the host of the Panther Nation podcast. Usually joins us on Thursday, kind enough to give us some time on Friday. All right, big fella, can't let you out of here without talking about the Super Bowl down in New Orleans. And I know that last year when we got to this point, it was when we got the incredible clip of certified hater mode, because you just refused to say anything about anybody that's not Carolina. And I respect it. All right, I respect the passion. That being said,
that's not what he did. He rooted for Kansas City, and he mentioned Swifties a couple of times. You're leaving that part out. I don't know why you're doing that.
To protect Rashad's image. Who you got?
Yeah, you mischaracterized certified hater mode. Certified hater mode is cheering against any former Carolina Panther. That's what I did, right? So I was very strategic in my hate actions, okay? this year, there is nobody to hate against. You know, Harrison Butker gets a pass. You know what I mean? He's a kicker. He gets a pass. This year, I can freely watch the Super Bowl and just enjoy. And I don't really have a choice in the matter. Do I have an opinion on who's going to win? Yeah, I do think the Chiefs are going to win it. I think the Chiefs are going to go out there and beat the Eagles. I don't think I think if you slow down Saquon a little bit, I think they're going to have some troubles. I know Hurts is capable, but I think if you slow down Saquon just a tad, and Mahomes is him. You know what I mean? I think Mahomes is always going to find a way, no matter what, no matter the situation. You got Patrick Mahomes. I think he's going to pull it out. Three-peat. Shout out to the Chiefs.
Who's the MVP, Mahomes?
Absolutely. Who else?
That's what I said. I don't see how anybody. I mean, listen, if they get a three-peat and he's that guy and he's the face of the league, and I don't think the only offensive player I think that could win it that's not Mahomes would be Kareem Hunt, but he's going to have to go for like $175 and three tutties if he's going to take it away. If Mahomes has 220 and a couple of touchdown passes, he's winning this thing.
And shout out to the Chiefs defense. I don't think they get enough credit. Obviously, you got Patrick Mahomes, who's one of the greatest of all time already early into his career. But the Chiefs defense is really, really good. And I think that it's going to be a challenge for them to slow down Saquon, but they're going to do their part. And obviously, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to get all the glory because it's a quarterback league, right? But that defense is really good. And I think it's going to be, a tough challenge to slow down Saquon, but they got to make it happen.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say George Karloftis wins the MVP.
Bro, he's like 29-1.
Have you seen how he's been playing?
I also have Rashad Beard.
Several sacks.
I have a bet on both defenses to score a touchdown, which pays out. I'm with you. Like, I think everybody's locked in on Mahomes, everybody's locked in on Hurts, and we're pretending like these aren't two of the top four defenses in the NFL slugging it out against each other.
Very true. Eagles defense is very good as well. So it's going to be a good matchup. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be very good, a good watch, especially for me since I don't have to cheer against any former Carolina Panthers.
Certified hater mode. How hard does Kendrick go in on Drake at the halftime show?
Oh, it's going to be a bloodbath, man. Kendrick Lamar, that matchup might be better than
Yes.
Hey, can you answer the question of that last verse of the Rob Smith?
guys, real quick. My wife is calling me. I got to.
See you, buddy. Okay.
See you.
I'm not hating on that. Later on. Yeah. That's Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast. He joins us on Thursdays. I'm going to go ahead and take him off the stream so we don't have to listen to him talk to his wife, too, because I'm a good friend like that, Rashad. I wouldn't just start slinging bleep at you in the middle of an interview. That would be rude. Who would do such a thing?
Well, now I have to check if Kendrick Lamar is actually taller than Bryce Young, because I am curious. Someone on the stream asked that question.
Listen, I once had a guy from Arizona tell me that Bryce Young's 6'9".
Yeah. Well, That's still that will go down in my memory forever.
Final hour of the show is all Super Bowl licks coverage. Lonzo and I are giving you our final scores and predictions, give you our MVP picks, give you our rundown of the game front to back, top to left, up and down, bottom to top. And that's coming up in the final hour after Lonzo does a sports flash.
Wow. Deontay says Bryce is taller. How short is Kendrick Lamar? The NFL handed out its season awards last night and announced its 2025 Hall of Fame class. The Most Valuable Player Award went to Bills quarterback Josh Allen, whatever, while Vikings coach Kevin O'Connell won Coach of the Year. The Rams' Jared Verse won Defensive Rookie of the Year, while Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels won on the offensive side. Joe Burrow is the Comeback Player of the Year. Saquon Barkley, who should have been the MVP, is Offensive Player of the Year. And Patrick Surtain II is Defensive Player of the Year. Tight end Antonio Gates. Hey, listen, I didn't like him because he played for the Chargers. Cornerback Eric Allen, defensive end Jared Allen, and wide receiver Sterling Sharp headlined the smallest Hall of Fame class since 2005. Make sure you tune in tomorrow at 4 p.m. as Furman Paladins take on the Chattanooga Mox. Furman versus Chattanooga right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.